Joining us now in studio are Northfield's Mayor Rhonda Pownell, and we also have Dana Norvold with us, who is the HRA Housing and Redevelopment Authority Board Chair. Good morning.
Good morning,
thank
Jeff.
Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having us.
Boy, the spring is here. It's construction season, and a lot of thoughts on housing, but of course, you think of housing, and Dana, especially you think of housing year-round.
I think of housing all the time, yes.
Right. There's a couple of things we want to talk about. Let's start off by talking about Spring Creek. The city put an affordable housing development there a few years ago. It's complete, or the first phase is complete. Yeah. We're going on to number two. I want to start with, either one of you can answer this. What is affordable housing? Is it the same as workforce housing? What is there a definition to it?
Well, I don't know if I'll get into the definition. I'll let Dana do that. But affordable housing is really one of the council's strategic priorities. And our entity, our board and commission that really takes care of that is our HRA, and they do such fabulous work, and they've been doing that consistently for a really long time for a 5-member board or commission. They really do a lot of work, and they do a lot of collaboration, and so just really wanted to take this opportunity to give Dana an opportunity really talk about the great work that they are doing. And so with regards to affordable housing, what is it? Is it workforce housing? Mm-hmm. Is it the same thing? What about senior housing? Mm-hmm. Do we need affordable housing for seniors? And so all of those things, I think we heard loud and clear as a council, and our HRA is doing fantastic work on that. So definition-wise, Dana can take that.
Well, it's not a softball question. People spend decades trying to define what affordable housing is. The HRA really appreciates that the council has made affordable housing as one of the top priorities of things to tackle in our community. I would define affordable housing as what's affordable for each person who wants to live here. And so that means really knowing our community. People are often surprised when I cite that about 27% of households in Northfield have household incomes of less than $35,000 a year. So that's nearly one in three households that make less than $35,000 a year. I would challenge everybody to think about living and raising a family on $35,000 a year, particularly with what rent prices are and what housing prices are. So if you make $35,000 a year, if you wanted to buy a home, and that's to assuming that you've got good credit, access to credit, what you could afford so that you wouldn't be more than 30% of your gross income. The industry standard is that you don't pay more than about a third for housing every month. You could only afford $120,000 of a house. I'd love to see some houses on the market for $120,000, but it's just that's not going to happen. Cost of construction is rising. We're running out of land, particularly in Northfield, particularly land that has the infrastructure already there. So by the time you acquire the land, put infrastructure in, and then build a modest home even, we're approaching the $200,000 mark quite easily. To afford a $200,000 home, a household income needs to have about $60,000 of household income. And so that's tough for a lot of our community. So that, I always like to share that as a way to share, this is our community. The people who are in that category are people who are working. So we could call it workforce housing. We could call it affordable housing. I tend to not really care what we call it as long as we build it, because more people need to have an affordable place to live.
Well stated. I kind of get it now.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. Great.
Good job. Dana Norvold, once again, is the HRA chair. Let's talk about that Spring Creek development. You had mentioned phase one has been built, and there are people living in there now. I guess we can start off with that. Is that everything that the city had intended? Is it what you wanted, the outcome, what you wanted?
Yeah, and when that was built, that was filled up before it was even finished being built. And so that just told us that people were clamoring to have this kind of housing. To qualify to live there, you have to be at 60% of area median income, which I'm not sure what that was at that time. At this time, it would probably be about $45,000 a year. So that's what you have to be under to be able to qualify to live in those units. And so the people that live there are happy that they're there. I think it has added some vibrancy to the neighborhood. It certainly has added some traffic, which can sometimes be a source of tension, but I think some of that has gotten worked out. We had a community meeting a couple of weeks ago for the second phase then of Spring Creek, and people really just talked about we need more sidewalks for kids, more parking spaces for folks. What I was really appreciative about the community members that showed up to that meeting was they weren't opposed to the project. They really understood the need for more affordable housing, more modest housing being built. They just wanted to ensure that during the process of the build, it was safe for the people who already live there, and that we're really thinking ahead, not to just to this project, but 10, 20, 50 years down the road. So we're talking about lots of road connectivity, trail connectivity, and all of that costs money. And so our HRA last night was just talking about when we do keep adding, because we own more of that land, that's going to impact 246, Ford on the south end going out to connectivity. So we're really appreciative that the community has come in to offer their suggestions for what needs to happen and their support for the concept of that Spring Creek 2 being built out there.
Now, since the first phase has been built, we have a lot of market forces that are in place now that I don't know if they were in place at the time of the building of the first one, and most of that has building materials. They've really skyrocketed. We've had some natural disasters all over the world. We've had some changes in tariff laws and trade policies and such, and that's forced prices to go up. Mm-hmm. That's got to be one of your bigger challenges in this day and age as you approach building a new project.
Yes, especially if the end goal is to keep it affordable for the end user. And that's why I think we have to think about as a community, and that's why it's so important that the council has this as a part of their strategic plan and their priorities, is how do we use all the tools in our financial toolbox so that we can get the project done and make it affordable for the end user. And so the HRA, along with Three Rivers, who is our longtime development partner, they've approached the city council for developing a TIF district there. We're applying to Minnesota Housing Finance Agency for low-income housing tax credits. So it really takes a broad array of financing tools to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And I think one thing I just wanted to add on to that is that there's communities all over the state that are competing for these dollars, because this is not an issue just for Northfield. It's all over, and probably all over the country, right, in terms of competing for workforce and ensuring that we have the necessary housing to help support the jobs that our employers need here in our community. One of the other things that I wanted to highlight, too, with regards to the Spring Creek 2 townhome project, there's 32 units. Mm-hmm. The first phase was 28 units. Mm-hmm. Second phase is 32 units.
Yep.
And that's a collaboration, as Dana said, with Three Rivers, Community Action Center, Northfield Union of Youth. They're all working together to ensure that the need is met and that those that move into that Spring Creek 2, 32 units, can be sustainable, or that they can move on with their life, that it's going to be a healthy move for them. And maybe Dana can speak a little bit more to that. I'm not saying that very well. But an additional 32 units, and we're in competition.
Mm-hmm.
So, as Dana said, pulling together all different resources so that we can get more scoring points to be able to qualify for some of those low-income
housing tax credits.
Yep.
Yeah, and so when we did Southbridge 1, we actually didn't make it through the first round. We were short just a couple of points. And only because a different community's project couldn't quite get off the ground, that's how then we got in to get the funding from Minnesota Housing Finance Agency to get Southbridge 1 built. And so we're trying really hard. And again, we can't thank Three Rivers enough for their work in really putting together the application along with with Janine, our city staff person. It is a ton of work to put together that application. And so we do everything we can to get one or two more points so that we can score just a little bit higher.
What is the size of this funding package, and would the whole project be at all doable and still affordable without it?
It absolutely would not be affordable without it or doable without it. The HRA, along with Three Rivers, has learned that we are that size of a community where we have to leverage our resources, our levy dollars, along with Minnesota Housing Finance Agency dollars. We just simply can't do it. The project cost, I don't know the full project costs yet. You maybe do because they talked about it. I think we're still trying to figure that out of what's the project development cost going to be? What might we get from Minnesota Housing Finance Agency? What might come through in a TIF district that's created? So the full development costs at this point aren't quite known.
Presuming that you're able to get these pieces into place in an orderly manner, when do you think they would break ground? Is it possible? I would imagine 2018 is probably out.
Right. Yeah, so the applications due in June. We get results of that in October. And then all of that, the final plans get made, bids are received. And so optimistically, breaking ground in August of 19.
So you're really scrambling to get everything together for that June deadline, I would imagine.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. And Leah Hall is our person from Three Rivers. She does a fantastic job. She's working really well with Janine collaboratively to get that application in. And there's lots of checklists that you have to do before you even get to submit it. Doing the community meeting was one of those. Getting buy-in from the council was one. The HRA gifted the land that we have owned for this project. We had to turn that over to Three Rivers. So all of those pieces are part of this whole application process.
All right. Hey, we've got a couple other things that we want to talk, and we don't want to go too long in doing this, so I want to move on to the next topic. You've got some other grants and some first-time mortgages that you can help some people out. Tell us about some of the other programs that are designed to help out people with housing.
Sure. So the HRA has some other programs. One is some programs that we can do through CDBG dollars. That's Community Development Block Grant money. And what is exciting about those right now is we're helping people who currently own their home, and it's in some targeted neighborhoods, help fix up their home. So one piece about affordable housing, it's not just the new housing that we're creating, but it's also we want to keep the housing stock that we've got here in good shape. And so some of that might be new roofs for folks. It might be some shoring up of some foundations. And so we've got some grant money and some loan money that's available through those CDBG dollars to help folks who, again, are under a certain income limit. Years ago, we may have called that affordable housing, but people could have afforded it years ago. Mm-hmm. And so, but now they just need a little bit of help keeping up the house. And so those projects are fun to do. We hope to give a project summary about that later in August when those projects are all wrapped up. And then the other piece that through CDBG and some of our levy dollars is first-time homebuyer money, also called down payment assistance. And that piece is very critical, especially if someone's buying a house, and we believe, particularly I believe, because I'm also the director of Habitat for Humanity, we believe that home ownership really can change the trajectory of some people's lives, where it creates more stability than rental does. We certainly need affordable rental, but the first-time homebuyer money is to help people bridge that gap between what houses cost on the market and what they're financed for from a bank. And so we have offered $9,000. Now we're moving it up to $15,000. In this market, we're learning that that's not even enough to cover that gap. So again, and the HRA has been a part of this, of being a part of loans where there's four loans involved to kind of stack that financing to help the gap. So that, I think, I'd like to talk more about of how can we increase the amount of money that we can provide for that gap financing. So if a family's approved for $170,000, but the house costs $200,000, where can we come up with that other $30,000 to help that person get into that home?
Well, yeah, I think that is so important. With the prices that you see on the houses these days, it's really kind of eye-popping. And you better be watching very closely, yes, because houses in that price range are gone before they get on the market.
Yes.
They're out there for about one day or so. And, you know, from, you know, I've lived in town about 30 years now, and for a lot of what would we call affordable housing are houses that they're older, maybe mm-hmm. a little more run down. Mm-hmm. And people buy houses like that. They do need to fix them up. Maybe it's a roof. Maybe it's something else. But programs like, programs that can offer grants and low-cost loans and such are so huge,
yeah,
because that can be so expensive.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. All right.
The other thing that we are a part of, the Rice County HRA is doing a new housing study, mm-hmm. and those housing studies are important. Minnesota Housing Finance Agency likes to see that we're keeping in tune with those numbers, and so the county HRA is diligently working on that. That'll get unrolled officially probably at the end of the summer. I was saying to our mayor that I don't suspect there's going to be brand new information in that. It's just going to affirm what we've talked about, that we need affordable housing units, we need affordable senior housing, and emergency housing is becoming more of an issue, almost a crisis in our community. So I think those things will all be included when that new housing study comes out.
All right. Anything else you'd like to mention? We're about out of time.
No, I just want to thank Dana for her service. As you can tell as she's talking about this, that this is a passion for her, and we need great people to serve on our boards and commissions and to move these important initiatives forward. So I'm just really thankful.
Yeah, thank you very much, and you're always welcome in here. You've got some very good information to pass along. So we'll talk to you again soon.
Great, thank
you. You're not done with this radio station yet.
Okay,
you're coming
sounds
back.
Good. Thanks.
All right. It's Dana Norvald, who is the HRA board chair, and also, of course, Mayor Pownell, who joins us every Wednesday at this time here on 95.1 FM, AM 1080 KYMN Northfield.